The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it was just a few minutes after the show ended yesterday, the guilty verdict on all three charges. And by the way, I know that looks a little complicated, but they're kind of like one leads to another, so manslaughter was a done deal once they did second and third degree murder. He's not going to be the biggest charge there found guilty on is the maximum is 40 years. It's not that they're going to come up with three different sentences and then add those together. That's not how this is going to work. And we're going to see some trouble again, most likely, when the judge comes down with the sentence, which probably is not going to be all 40 years. We'll see what happens. He's already in a maximum security prison for obvious reasons and on suicide watch for obvious reasons. And so I've got a lot of different reactions today from the right and the left, and people on the right that agreed, people on the right that didn't. And then what's going on from the left, from Black Lives Matter folks, and then Andy McCarthy, who I shared a lot from his article the other day. And then, of course, we had just literally minutes, 30 minutes before, whatever it was, yesterday before the verdict, the shooting and death of I think she was 15, maybe 16-year-old girl in Columbus, Ohio, who was attacking another girl with a rather large knife. And the police officer trying to stop that. I mean, she's literally lunging at her, a really large knife, and he shot her. It sounded to me like he shot her several times, and she died. So it's just one thing after another and just heartbreaking. And as my heart breaks as I watch these things, and even I say something like that, oh, you're a compromiser, just because I'm longing for heaven. That's what that is. Longing for the kingdom on earth, thy will be done, your kingdom on earth, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the longing of our hearts. And that ain't just going to happen. It's not going to happen until Jesus comes back and makes it happen. So I'm going to take you through, starting with my personal page. I'm just going to read some of these comments that came out. I put the guilty verdict up on social media yesterday, all three counts, and then I stepped away. And then 12, 13, 1400 comments later, it is ugly out there, whether you're for, against, black, white, Republican, Democrat. And most of the people on my pages will tell you that they're Christian. And it's just brutal to watch some of this. So I'm just going to take you through it because I have to look at a lot more comments than you probably do on your own pages. So you decide what to do with this as you will. I'm not going to say any names. I might say a first name or something. First one. A sad, sad day in this country. The assumption that the guilty charges were wrong, right? The next one, total BS, pandering to the rioters. A person replied, exactly, he was the sacrifice. Another one, this may be overturned because of Maxine's public statements, Maxine Waters. And then another gal comes in, are you all serious? The saddest day of all was the day that officer rested his knee on the neck of a man, even as he called out to his dead mother, even as he pleaded for his life. You all are the most hard-hearted people ever, all caps. Guess your opinion would be different had it been your son, brother, father. God save you all. May your hearts one day be blinded from race and may it love unconditionally. That opened it up, of course, because that's what we do today. Just open it up. One person, you think that woman was being held at gunpoint by George Floyd as he held the gun at her pregnant belly as he robbed her? Do you think she was crying for her mother? He was a thug. Somebody else, while high on drugs, he was ... People like this other person don't care about cold, hard facts. They only care about their truth. Another reply. I know people like you would rather believe a lie than to see the truth that's right in front of you. Why don't you take another look at the video, this time with your eyes, heart, and mind open? And it just got uglier. He has so much fentanyl in him, he swallowed it. Of course, that will kill you. Did you not see the footage before he was arrested? He shoved the substance in his mouth, on and on and on and go. Hey, Sam, I don't care if he was a white man with a needle stuck in his vein. He, too, was for whom Christ died. This is what you feel he deserved because there were drugs in his system. No proof he was high, just proof of drugs in his system. I bet you'd have more sympathy for a dying dog than a human life. Back and forth it goes. On and on and on. He was no decent man. He was an animal. This is a Christian calling another person made in the image of God an animal. Sometimes we'll say trash. They're trash. Really? Jesus died for trash. Jesus died for animals. And by the way, without Christ, I'm trash. You're trash. Without Christ. I think Floyd was a piece of blank street thug criminal. Violent. I don't care if he was black, white, pink, or purple. He was trash. Is it too late for a mistrial now that the verdict has been read? Who are you people? How can you not see a knee to a man's neck? Killed him. Drugs kill too. Back and forth. Please stop. The man died because the man kneeled on his neck for nearly 10 minutes. He couldn't breathe and he died. If you cannot see that, search your heart. Back and forth, back and forth. Search your heart. No, search your heart. You're blind. No, you're blind. How's this even possible? Shouldn't it be one or the other? What? He's talking about the multiple charges, right? Until now, it's always been trust the system and hold people accountable. Well, the system has finally, maybe for once, come down on the side of justice. The police cannot be judge and executioner, but he was more than just a bad apple. This was a case of systemic injustice. And then, of course, that keeps going, right? That's on my personal page, back and forth. And then on my radio show page, it's always worse, sadly. It's 105,000 people on there, whatever. And it's just guilt by location of trial. That's right. Amen. And threatened jury and corrupt judge. Amen. The murder charges will be overturned in appeal. Grateful that justice has been served. Really? Says somebody else. Think it was based on the evidence. Well, you can see where that's going. So sad. The jury was afraid. They had to vote guilty. That's the first. And then 60 replies, which I'm not going to read to you. None of this would have happened, D said, if he would have just stopped when told to. Now we, the taxpayers, should pay for a cop to be in jail for years. 57 replies to that. He could never get a fair trial there, Connie said, in that city, and the jury members were most likely scared to death to find him not guilty. Mr. Chauvin is a scapegoat in order to prevent riots. Sad. 55 replies to that. I'm sure there will be appeal. This was not a fair trial. Too much corruption, according to the judge, because of what Maxine Waters said. His attorney can file for an appeal. On and on it goes. This was not a fair trial. This man would be lucky to live 6 months in prison, talking about Chauvin. Hey, the dude died of a drug overdose, and it's the cop's fault? Over and over and over and over 1,200 times over. You know what I didn't see much in there? Humility. I saw a lot of omniscience, a lot of omnipresence, a lot of people that know everything, apparently. And for a bunch of Christians just tearing into each other. And Satan laughs all the way to the bank. I'll follow up on that when we come back. It's Steve Noble. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Just taking you through some of the stuff that shows up on my Facebook pages. Yesterday, all I posted was guilty on all three charges. And then it went from there. And some people making some decent points here and there and mob rule. And did that have an effect? Greg Gutfeld, who's on Fox News yesterday, afterwards said, I'm glad, talking about Chauvin, I'm glad he was found guilty on all charges, even if he might not be guilty of all the charges. I'm glad that he was found guilty because I want a verdict that keeps this country from going up in flames. So now you don't live in a country of the rule of law. You live in a country of the rule of intimidation or the mob. And it just depends on which way the mob's going or which mob is bigger. It's not the rule of law anymore. As Steve Dace said, and he's going to be on the show tomorrow, I'm going to tease him a little bit because he started doing Theology Thursday on his Blaze show. The Blaze, but I've been doing Theology Thursday for 6 years, so I'm going to tease him about that. But anyway, last week he came up with, it was a list of 13 things that he thought Christians in America needed to deal with, and they're pretty harsh in terms of the condition of the country. One of his things that he said, we did a full show together back in, I don't know, November or December, was we no longer live in a country under the rule of law. What's ruling the country is political will. And political will takes to the streets and makes noise one direction or the other, one side or the other. If it's not the Tea Party, it's BLM. It's somebody. And then that leads to intimidation. And then can you actually get justice? And let's remember, when you're dealing with imperfect human beings, all saturated in sin to one degree or another, that there is no perfect justice when it's being meted out by human beings. The only person, the only thing in all of existence that can put out perfect justice is God himself. We do the best we can with what we've got, and now we're in a situation where did Derek Chauvin get a fair trial? Could he get a fair trial in Minneapolis, St. Paul, pulling all the jurors and the alternates from there? I don't know how you could. How is anybody in Minneapolis not tainted by everything that's happened there over the last year? That screams change of venue to me. But then would you have been on that jury no matter where you live? I asked yesterday. I asked again today on Facebook Live. You want to join us on the Steve Noble page there or on YouTube Live, the Steve Noble page on YouTube. And I asked if anybody would serve on that jury. And I still haven't found anybody that said yes. I don't see anybody that say, yeah, I'd be on that jury. Why? Ask yourself, why would you not? Why would you not be on the jury? Probably because you're afraid of being doxxed. What if you don't rule the way that some portion of America wants you to rule? What if you only find him guilty on manslaughter and not the second degree and third degree murders? By the way, those are stacked up. So if you're guilty of the third degree, which is the most extensive, then they also get you on those two. Minneapolis is different than other places. It's kind of screwy. Obviously, I know that's confusing. But if you're guilty of the most egregious one, then you start with manslaughter, which is accidental death. And then you go to the next one, which is, was he a derelict of duty, essentially? Yes. And then it's like malice. Was he like really dereliction of duty? Well, yeah, if you're guilty of that one, then you're guilty of the lower two, right? Does that make sense? And in Minnesota, it's just kind of strange there. Even how they do murder is different in Minnesota. But that's federalism. They're allowed to do that, okay? But you're thinking, I wouldn't serve on that trial. I wouldn't, personally. You know, a white conservative Christian commentator, if I found manslaughter but not second or third degree murder, I'm going to get doxxed sooner or later. Me, my wife, and my kids. And my son who lives in a different part, my daughter's going to live in a different part of the country soon. You don't think that I would be putting them in jeopardy? So I wouldn't serve on that trial, and that should tell you something about where we're going as a nation. But these comments over and over and over again from people that call themselves Christian, okay, even wrong, dipstick, somebody said. So it's okay to strangle for someone for 9 minutes? Back and forth and back and forth. Name calling, and I can fall into this too. And just, he's trash, he's a piece of garbage, he deserved to die, that kind of stuff. If you call yourself a Christian and we're talking about one another or the worst person on the planet with that kind of malice, what's going on with our heart? I can't judge you. I can look at your words and I can look at the way you react. You can look at my words. You can look at, and sometimes I post something just because I want it to explode. And God deals with me on that. Sometimes my family's helpful and they'll call me out. And I'm like, this is really a challenging time. You probably hear this in me 5 days a week as I struggle to do this show and work through what's going on in our country and in our world and in my own heart. So I'm like, where's the humility? Everybody, it seems like so many people are omniscient. I guess you know everything. BS, the man died of an overdose. Fact, F-A-C-T, all caps. Like you know, ma'am, you're omniscient? You aren't. Golly, and it's just getting worse. And in the church, okay, I expect the people outside the church to rip each other to shreds. That's normal, unfortunately. But in the church, how many relationships have been broken over masks and now vaccines and all this stuff? We can disagree. But man, we act like all there is in this life is what we're dealing with now. It's just difficult. So here you go. Here's 9 Republicans. Justice was served. Tim Scott, godly man, African-American. George Floyd died because he's a senator. George Floyd died because Derek Chauvin kneeled on his neck and stopped him from breathing for more than 9 minutes. There's no question in my mind that the jury reached the right verdict. Do you hate Tim Scott now? While this outcome should give us renewed confidence in the integrity of our justice system, we know there is more work to be done to ensure that bad apples do not define all officers. Amen. This is reasoned, rational, godly input. Okay. The vast majority of whom, talking about police, put on the uniform each day with integrity and servant hearts. We must all come together to help repair the tenuous relationship between law enforcement and Black and minority Americans, Scott continued. Reasoned, calm, full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To deny the progress we've made is just as damaging as not making progress at all. America's through and through racist, right? Everybody, everything, 100%, right up to the top line. That's not true. Have we made progress? You show me another country in the history of the world that essentially slaughtered 750,000 of its own people in order to eliminate chattel slavery. Show me one other country in the world, in the history of the world, that's done that. There isn't one. Does that matter? Does that get any credit whatsoever? To deny the progress we've made is just as damaging as not making progress at all, as Tim Scott. Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan said the justice system works. I said last summer that what happened to George Floyd was as wrong can be. And the justice system will work, and that's what we saw happen, Jim Jordan said. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan described George Floyd's death as a senseless murder. Justice has now been served. The senseless murder of George Floyd, he said, served as yet another reminder that we still have a long way to go to live up to our nation's highest ideals. Republican, okay? Another Republican, Minnesota Republican Representative Pete Stauber, tweeted, for the past few weeks, 12 of our fellow Minnesotans diligently listened to the evidence presented by the defense and prosecution, and today they have reached their verdict. I thank the jurors for their service. Oh, you can't be that nice, dude. You need to repent. Ohio Senator Rob Portman. George Floyd's death was tragic and should never happen to anyone in America. I'm grateful today that justice appears to be served as we await sentencing. Ooh, appears to be served. Let's hang him up to dry. Right? See my point here? See what we do? Are you getting triggered by any of this, by the way? Tennessee Representative Mark Green tweeted, Derek Chauvin had 17 misconduct investigations before he took the life of George Floyd. It's clear Chauvin's actions were sickening and irrefutable. He was a bad cop. Today's decision is justice for the Floyd family. Did that trigger you? Nancy Mace, South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace tweeted that clashes with law enforcement should not end in death. The murder of George Floyd was a heartbreaking tragedy. Clashes with law enforcement should not end in death, period, Mace said. Did that trigger you? I pray our country can work peacefully toward needed change. Wow. Pray. That's a word I saw almost never out of 1,400 comments on my Facebook page. God help us, too. I'll be right back. Oh, angel said from above, you know you make my world light up. When I was down, when I was hurt, you came to me. All right, I'll just admit it. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble at the Steve Noble Show. I love music. Because you know what just happened? I was, you know, down in the dumps feeling sorry for myself. I get tired doing this every once in a while. And, I hear good music and good song. And I know whether the artist knows where their talent comes from or not. I do. So I go, thank you, Lord, for people that are really creative and come up with catchy music and stuff that can lighten my load for 20 seconds. Cool. Praise the Lord. I'll take that. So I was just asking... Because Garrett, what's his name? Hold on. The new Attorney General. He is now investigating the entire Minneapolis police force through the Department of Justice. That is, I just had this stupid story right in front of me. Garrett Garland, whatever his name is. So he's going to investigate the entire Minneapolis police force. And should we be investigating police forces? Should we be holding them accountable? Yeah, for people that have the ability to exercise deadly force. Yeah. AG Garland targets entire Minneapolis Police Department with investigation. He started talking about George Floyd's family, although the state's prosecution was successful. I know that nothing can fill the void that the loved ones of George Floyd have felt since his death. My heart goes out to them. Da-da-da. Yesterday's verdict in the state criminal trial does not address potentially systemic policing issues in Minneapolis, he said. Staffed by experienced attorneys and other personnel from the Justice Department Civil Rights Division in the U.S. Attorney's Office for the district, you know, we're going to be investigating Minneapolis. Garland spoke of those with behavioral health disabilities being targeted by police, stating the investigation will also assess whether the Minneapolis Police Department engages in discriminatory conduct and whether its treatment of those with behavioral health disabilities is unlawful. He's talking about people they encounter out in the streets that have mental disorders. That's another. We don't talk about that, mental health, much in this country, and it's a huge issue. The Justice Department also has the authority to bring a civil lawsuit asking a federal court to provide injunctive relief. And so they're going to go after the Minneapolis Police Department. And should our police departments be held and our police officers held to a higher standard? Yes, you carry a gun, you should be held to a higher standard. Okay. All right. I'm down with that. So then I asked the question for my friends on Facebook Live. What percentage of the police force nationwide do you think probably should not have a job tomorrow because they can't handle it? They got anger issues, self-control issues. They joined for the wrong reason. What is it? Worst case scenario, I think I saw was 25%, 75% in New York. 17, you know, 2%, 5%, 10%. Let's say it's 10%. Okay? 10%. 10% of cops in America should not be employed tomorrow. Let's just go with that. If that triggers you, you know, it's human depravity, all right? That's pretty easy to deal with that. We could probably say that 10% on anything. What percentage of the pastors in America struggle with looking at porn? It's about 60%. 60. So 10% of cops shouldn't be employed tomorrow. That's 75,000 police officers nationwide. So do we have we need to deal with cleaning up the police force across the country? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You kidding me? Of course. If it's 10%, that's 75,000. There's 750,000 sworn in officers of the law nationwide. 75,000 shouldn't be employed tomorrow, based on most guesses. Should we find them and root them out, get them help, or just get them, they need another job? Yes. Am I a jerk for saying that? No. I'm a realist and I'm responsible. That's what that is. That's reality. Don't forget that. 2%, 15,000. 20%, 150,000. Because there's 750,000 cops nationwide. Okay, remember? Facts matter, and they don't care about our feelings. Democrat Nancy Pelosi. Did you hear about this? Nancy. Oh, I can't stand her. Thank God the jury validated what we saw, what we saw. She says, this is, so again, thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice. If I sacrifice something, isn't that volitional? Don't I need to decide to do that? Hey, I'm gonna get myself into this circumstance where I'm gonna die all in the name of justice. Nancy, what do you, term limits anybody? Age limits anybody? Yes. Should Nancy Pelosi be up there? No. And she got hammered on this from the left and from African Americans, as she should. He sacrificed his life for justice? Really, Nancy? These politicians just drunk. They all get high in their own supply. Candace Owens was saying it was mob rule. Ben Shapiro is kind of agreeing. You don't have to say that you love what Chauvin did. You don't have to say that Chauvin acted appropriately. You don't have to say any of that stuff. What you do have to say is to not even believe there's reasonable doubt on the murder charge. On the murder charges where you would have to have intent. That suggests to me that that was far less about the actual facts of the case and far more about the hubbub surrounding the case. That's just talking about mob rule, okay? Walsh also on the network with Shapiro. He's hardcore. The irony is the only verdict we could really trust is an acquittal on all accounts. I think that would have been the right verdict. I'm like, really? Even on manslaughter? That doesn't make any sense to me. But it's also the only one you can trust because it's the only one that could not have been motivated by anything but a look at the evidence, Walsh said. Interesting perspective on that point. Mob rule again. Judge Pirro, though, conservative, Fox News. She acknowledged that the verdict was based heavily on emotion, but argued that the facts supported the verdict, too. She also emphasized that the American justice system works and rioting for justice is not the answer. Clearly, the verdict is supported by the facts, Pirro said. Conservative on Fox News. Okay. Did that trigger you? Do you hate her? You want to cancel her now? Then the Black Lives Matter activists, this should scare all of us. Following the verdict, journalist Drew Hernandez hit the streets in Minneapolis. This was all on video. Okay. Talking to some of the BLM activists out there. Yes, we can defund the police, one supporter said. BLM supporter shouted. And maybe one day we will abolish the police, but we ain't going to do blank unless we have control over them. That's the number one thing right now. We're not going to let those pigs in these buildings have any more control over our lives today. That blank ends today. Another supporter called for people to attack the system from every single blanking angle and go way beyond voting. At this point, this is mob rule, friends. This is a cold civil war getting hotter. Another one said, we need to be coming out here every single day if that's what it takes until we get justice for the people that they murdered a week ago and they've already forgotten about. The only reason, once again, that we got this conviction is because we showed up. So that would appear to be kind of public pressure. Some would call it mob rule. Another supporter said that they were never going to be satisfied and suggested without evidence that what was happening, listen to this, is black genocide? Black Lives Matter isn't a trend, it's a movement. Black Lives Matter forever, okay? So we're not going to stop just because we've gotten one conviction. We're happy with the conviction, but we're not going to keep going. This is black genocide. Sir, you want to know what black genocide is? Go to New York, where you combine the abortion rate and the murder rate, and blacks are decreasing. The reproduction rate in New York is below the death rate for African Americans. Where's the black genocide? That would be in mom's womb at the hands of mostly white abortionists. That's where the black genocide is. It's amazing how we throw that around. Just amazing. We're going to talk to Dr. Anthony Harper. I'll switch gears here in the fourth segment. Christian, a believer, former pastor, and he is a correspondent down at the White House. He's had an interesting year, so he's going to call in. We're going to talk to him in the fourth segment. Andy McCarthy, I read a bunch of his legal analysis yesterday, so he wrote something after the conviction. And he had some of the same concerns about mob rule and pressure. To make a record that the jury was not overwhelmed by publicity and intimidation, it would have been best for the jurors to deliberate for a few days and perhaps send some notes to the court. A split verdict, guilty on a felony murder and manslaughter, but not guilty on depraved indifference murder, also could have insulated the jury from such claims. I'm not saying the jury should have done that for appearance sake. I'm saying that had they done that, it would have been a bulletproof demonstration that the jurors made a discriminating appraisal of the evidence and that they decided the case was exacting fidelity to Judge Cahill's instructions on the law. Showing that they were 10 hours with no questions or asking for any clarification is like they were moving pretty quick to a decision. Okay, that's saying that could open it up, which you're going to see an appeal. Whether that goes anywhere, we have to wait and see. The fact that the deliberations were so short, he writes, and it would appear indicative of sparse scrutiny of a complex trial record does not necessarily mean Chauvin was denied due process. But for Chauvin to have any chance of showing that he was denied due process, what had to happen has happened. The deliberation lend themselves to the claim that the jury did not see acquittal as an option. The guilty verdicts against Chauvin are rational and defensible, McCarthy writes. Many will zealously claim that the evidence is overwhelming, though I think that overstates matters on the issue of intent. The likelihood in any event is that Derek Chauvin's convictions and the severe sentence that will be imposed on him in a few weeks will be upheld on appeal. Will that help? Will that help? Are we getting better? Maybe for 24 hours in some way, 36 hours. But then you had the shooting in Columbus. And did you see that video? A 16-year-old girl, a black girl, had about a 6-inch bladed knife lunging at another girl up against the car. And she's lunging at her, and she could kill her, really, if she hit her in the right place. She could bleed out, and the cop shows up. And it's crazy maelstrom, and he's yelling, and she won't stop. And she's going in with a 6-inch knife, right? So he fires several times, and then she dies. And you think Jesus watches this and goes, oh, that's too bad. Oh, man, look at that. No. He weeps over what we do to each other. Weeping over a police officer that has to make that decision. And then, of course, we're like, everybody's like, well, that was racist. Really? You know the guy's heart? You're God all of a sudden. You know the guy's heart? You know his motivation? What would you have done? Let the 6-inch blade slip into the belly of the other girl? I would have grabbed my taser, Steve. Well, that's easy for you to say. Do you operate in quarter-second increments? I don't think so, but that's what they have to do. We better be praying about all this. We'll be right back.
There's a man going around.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Going to change gears here for a second and talk to Dr. Anthony Harper. He is with Intermountain Christian News and a pastor, a believer, and our brother in Christ. And he has been working up in Washington, D.C., deals with the White House press office and the White House briefing room, which I've been in before myself. Pretty amazing place, not nearly as big as you think it is. But we're going to talk to Dr. Harper here in just a second. But I wanted to, we did this recently when I did some phone calls, and a gentleman called in, Ricky called in to share one of his challenges. That's the show when I asked, what are you most concerned about in the nation? And he was sharing his challenges in life as an ex-con, a man that's paid his debt to society and finding a job and places to live and all that kind of stuff. And there was another gentleman that called in at the end of the show whose name is John. And I thought we got John's email. So John, if you're listening, whatever email we have, we've emailed you a couple times and haven't been able to get through. So I'm thinking there's a chance that maybe we got all it takes is you get one little digit wrong in an email, right? And then it goes into oblivion. So, John, if you're out there, Ricky would very much love to talk to you. And maybe we can see the Lord helping out and blessing both of you guys. So, John, if you're out there listening and you wanted to get a hold of Ricky, who's I think it sounded like John probably was an ex-con himself and had dealt with all those challenges, that would be awesome. Just send me an email, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. By the way, any of you, if you want to email me about the show, the content, whatever, feel free to do that. I'm busy, but I'm not so busy. I can't reply to an email or a Facebook message. But steve@thestevenobleshow.com is the email. But John, if you're out there, we would love to connect with you, or you can call in even to the show. But I'd prefer it just email me directly, and that way we won't have to copy down an email and try to get it right. steve@thestevenobleshow.com. Like I said, we've got Dr. Anthony Harper with us calling in today. Anthony, thank you so much for calling in, brother. How are you?
I'm very, very, very thankful here in the midst of all that's going on in our nation.
Yes, it is it's been a heavy season for a while, and I was just talking about that on the air as we were dealing with the Chauvin trial yesterday and the unrest that is not getting any better, in fact, getting worse in our country. But I wanted to ask you, Anthony, being up there in D.C. as a White House investigative journalist with Intermountain Christian News, how did you end up up there? Most of my Christian brothers don't end up in the White House briefing room.
Well, I definitely didn't have any intention to be at the White House to work as a journalist at all, because I'm initially a musician.
Mm.
So, but anyway, I just felt a calling by God to be there to report truth. And this was in 2011 that I started there in the Obama administration. I asked the press person for my Idaho senator how that works about getting in there. And so it was quite the experience that the Obama administration, and those were dark days, because of the assault was really beginning in a major way on our religious freedoms. But now this assault is on steroids right now.
Yeah, really amazing. So did things change rapidly just in terms of your own relationship and your own workings there as part of the White House press corps, Anthony, when we switched from the Trump administration to the Biden administration? Help us understand what it was like under Trump, because obviously that was very contentious with Trump and most of the media, and the White House briefing shut down for a while, and then you switched mm-hmm. to Biden. But what was it like then, and what's it like now?
Well, basically the stark contrast, because I could be at the White House every day for press access during the Trump administration, whereas I'm restricted to one day a week now. The other difference is that I didn't have to pay for a COVID testing fee of $170
Whoa.
For every day to be there, but I have to now.
Yeah, and so that's $170 per test.
Correct. This is a rapid test at the White House. And there are other options. Other journalists, other media outlets are using it off-site. They must get a better deal, because the other media source, they have quite a few other people working for them. But there's several issues surrounding the differences, the way I've been treated here along with other journalists. And there's a complaint letter that has been filed with the White House, with the White House Correspondents Association. And I see the White House Correspondents Association in violation of a code of ethics here, because mm-hmm. they really have transferred from a organization to support journalists, to defend journalists, to an arm of the government directly doing the bidding with the White House demands. And President Trump did make that demand that we have to pay this fee. And so this is a stark contrast. And I'm really concerned about the freedom of the press under assault.
Yeah, which is very interesting. This was an article that was just in the Christian Post. And this the title of this article, the headline is a real eye catcher. Christian reporter joins Playboy correspondent in protest of Biden's press policies. So there's a Playboy correspondent, and the Christian reporter in this case is you. So what was behind this story?
What was behind the story? Just to make everyone aware that this is a broad spectrum problem. It's just not me, but, there's a Jewish reporter that has signed on this complaint letter. The people of various religions are part of it. And the issue is that this is an overall big problem, the assault on the freedom of the press. We see played out in the press meetings at the White House that they seem to prefer softball questions than ones that ask really, really challenging questions don't get called upon. So I was actually included in a White House press meeting last Friday via Zoom with Dr. Fauci, and all the journalists had to submit the questions ahead of time, I had a very challenging question for Dr. Fauci, which was, what his response to the churches, synagogues, businesses, and journalists that feel that their constitutional freedoms have been violated because of his medical opinion.
And of course, that question, I'm assuming, didn't get asked. Right.
I didn't get called on. But that was probably one of the hardest questions to ask, and the most challenging questions that needed to be asked, but they didn't want to deal with that. So I'm just there to be a voice of truth in the midst of this very challenging and a hostile environment in our nation. And the whole issue you mentioned about this Minnesota police officer yesterday when I was at the White House, they were preoccupied with that. Press secretary, even though I met with her briefly, she didn't want to talk with me because she's so preoccupied with this and so many other things. But my concern, I think, goes along with what Dinesh D'Souza said, is that really it's the Democrat Party has really been all along the party of slavery. And he points out in his Hillary's America movie that about the history of the Democrat Party tied to being the ones that support slavery. So what is happening is there's this mind manipulation, this control over us to try to convince us that we are a racist nation, when in fact it's a certain party that's racist more than anything, trying to convince us that we're all like them.
Yeah, when you go actually study the history and people, because that's such a, for most people to hear that charge, they're like, oh, because they think it's just political. Set the politics aside, just go study history. You want to understand the foundations of slavery, who fought for it, who fought against it. You want to talk about Jim Crow laws, who did that. You want to talk about the Ku Klux Klan, who did that. It's one party, not the other, and it's the Democrat Party, but most people don't even want to go there.
Yeah, the Hillary's America movie that I watched, I've had an interview with Dinesh D'Souza on a couple of occasions, and he really is really good at documenting this.
Yeah.
And
excellent.
So he knows the threat we're under right now concerning our constitutional freedoms that are eroding so quickly. And something's got to be done or we won't have America as we've known it.
Did you have a chance, Dr. Harper, to meet with Jen Psaki? Was that yesterday or sometime this week?
That was yesterday.
And how did that go? What were you talking about?
Well, that was, I was wanting to talk with her about we have this upcoming National Day of Prayer on Thursday, May 6th. And in light of Lincoln, this is a big issue because President Biden was actually at Gettysburg last October to play off the Lincoln persona, but he's not abiding by Lincoln's spirit, and especially when I brought attention at the White House about Lincoln's call to repentance, his proclamation of humiliation and fasting. Is it called prayer and repentance?
Yeah.
And I quoted several things from Lincoln yesterday at the White House. And actually, they seem to be very inquisitive. They really seem to be open to hearing Lincoln's words. But Lincoln quoted a scripture from Psalm 33:12. Blessed only are those nations whose God is the Lord. And he goes into saying that we need to repent for our many national sins. We need to plead for mercy from God above, that he will forgive us. But with this National Day of Prayer, I'm wondering how that's going to play out at the White House.
Yeah.
We're going to have a ceremony, the National Day of Prayer, and who's going to be invited to this? Is it going to be a pagan event,
Right.
Or is it going to be a truly time of prayer?
Yeah, very, very dark days, whether we're looking at what's going on in the news or up there in D.C. Do you, Dr. Harper, do you have hope for the nation still? I mean, I struggle with this, given what's going on in the news. You're up there dealing with the White House and the press corps and all that mess. How do you feel about America in general? We got about 30 seconds.
Oh, I think America is on a fast slope of eroding here, very slippery slope. But I think about 2 Chronicles 7:14, that people really need to know in our nation that not all prayers are listened to, only the ones that are humble prayers that we turn from our wicked ways.
Yeah, such a great point. Dr. Anthony Harper, Intermountain Christian News, thank you for your work up there, brother. We appreciate it. And thanks for calling in today. God bless you.
Thank you, prayers. Thank you, appreciate it.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you again. Dr. Anthony Harper, pray for wherever God has his men and women invested in trying to make a difference in this country. We need to be praying for them, and we need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.